Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Relationship Wednesday. It's May 31st, 2017. It's already the last day of the month. Tomorrow is June 1st. We're on to a whole new world and a whole new month yet again. But I know that some of you, I guess, had seen the, I didn't know it was out. I didn't know that they put it out. It must have been after I slept last night, where they posted the show when we did the recording of the show. So I can't wait to see it on the computer or online. I did see clips of it. Eliana has been working so hard to put all this together and sending clips, and she's just been amazing. And she got Paul involved to start posting things, and it's really working out. So thank you guys for seeing it. So Liam says Paul posted it on the page this morning, so I'll see it. I didn't wake up till like 5:15 this morning, so I know, but I can't wait to see it. So thank you guys for putting it up and for filming it and for seeing it, and yeah, just sitting at my desk doing our thing. But today's show, there's something I realized that we overlook, because when we're happy, we're just happy. We think everything's fine, everything's okay, right? We all know how to be happy. But how do we sustain that happiness? How does that happiness stay a part of our everyday and not get clouded up and mixed in the shuffle because we're too busy to address it? Because we always find time to address stuff that's wrong. We'll always make a minute to talk about what we need to talk about. But when we accept happiness, it's an entire, like, mindset. It's an entire way of your mind working with your body, with the people you live with your partner, your husband, your wife, even your children, everyone who's involved in your everyday, in your home. And I found out that accepting happiness, it does seem easy, but it's hard for us to accept it. Sometimes we're scared of happiness. We're scared that if we really jump in and we're really happy, something's going to go wrong. And so we kind of wait for a day, a really special day, to say, okay, well, this is the day we're going to be happy. You're graduating, or you're getting married, or we're having a baby shower, or we're going to go on vacation, or whatever. But you don't have to hold on to happiness for a date. So how are we, and how can we be happy each and every day in our relationships? Even when we have issues and challenges and weird stuff to show up in your day, or days get hijacked. Because happiness has never been overrated, but it has been underrated. Because it's hard for us to feel like it's okay, not just to be happy, but to stay happy. Just to stay happy. So what are the things that make that difference? Just that make the difference for us in accepting happiness. So Christ came up with like 8 things this morning. Pretty good for me waking up at 5:15. But he just said certain things, and I thought, God, I used to do that. Oh, wait, I did that before. Oh, wait a minute, I did that before too. And one of them, the number one thing, I guess it must happen a lot between us, is don't keep bringing up past issues once they are solved. If they're solved and you solved them with that person, let it be solved. If you keep saying someone did something that you both already solved, what happens? That means that one of you, the one who keeps bringing it up, is not over it yet. So is it really solved? Is there something left undone? And one of the ways to do that, number 1 and number 8, they go together, was he said, ask if the other soul is good. Did you get everything out? Is it okay for us to go on? Do you feel like all of your questions were answered? And the reason you ask that is so that the other person, maybe the one that always keeps bringing things up and doesn't realize they're over yet and that you guys can both go on, it's just, you know, are you good? And then they realize there's a conclusion. Because in some areas and some families and kids were raised, people were raised differently, they focus on the things that didn't work because they can't accept the things that do or look at those as something to be grateful for and something to be happy about. And they keep their focus. And when they say we sink to the lowest link, that's what happens when we keep bringing stuff up that we already talked about, that we already solved. But, you know, don't forget, you did that. And then the other person can never forget it. It's very interesting. But just know if you keep repeating something, one, it's either not solved, or two, it's just a habit of bringing things up because you want to kind of get in the way of your happiness, kind of like what we talked about on Monday, a little bit of that self-sabotage just rolling right in. But if you yourself talk to anybody about any issue on the exit, when you're done, when you're getting done, just spot check and say, hey, are you good? Are we good? Did you ask me every question you wanted to ask me? Is it okay? Can we go on now? Because if we keep just rolling over, rolling over, rolling over, something is not connecting, either in the relationship or in your own mind. Or you just don't know how to get off the train. And maybe by having a conclusion to a conversation, instead of like, okay, I get it now. But ask even more. Did you get everything out? Did you ask me all your questions? Can we grow on? Because when you say, can we grow on, you're saying, okay, this is done. We're learned from it. Let's go on. Another thing Christ said that we do a lot of is don't use a good moment to bring up something that upsets you. Because what happens is all of those good moments that you think you're having will start turning into not so good moments if the person you're with and sharing your life with thinks, oh my gosh, now there's going to be a kicker. Every time we're happy, this comes up. Or she brings or he brings something up that they're upset about. Don't use good moments to bring something up that you're upset about. I had a couple that I was working with that, and I know this sounds crazy to say, but every time they would make love or have sex or do whatever they were doing, and they were both probably in a happiest moment, the wife would bring up the stuff that bothered her because she felt like she had his attention. And what happened to her and to them was that after a while, he was hesitant to be intimate with his wife because he knew that once that was over, he was going to have a laundry list of things that weren't okay. She felt close enough at that time to express herself. And at that time, he really just was thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to eat now? What are we going to do? Or are we going to just fall asleep? But she used it as a forum to air out. So we had to come up with another forum where she felt close and she can talk about these things and not connect it to an event on such a regular basis. So we opened up two options, and one was to either go on walks together or after dinner when they would sit for a while, whatever it is they would do, that would be her time, or when they went on car rides, that they would both be prepared that they'd be each other's captive audience. And we had to replace the event where she would feel intimate and close enough and warm enough and happy enough to be able to bring up the things that did upset her. And it worked. But they didn't even realize that this is what happened, and they came to me for intimacy issues, and it wasn't even the intimacy issue that was the issue. The issue was using that moment to create a time to speak about what upset her. It's so interesting how we are as people, but it's only because that's when she felt closest, which was great. But leave it there. Let it just be the moment that it needs to be. I see Liam is writing in the chat, when we are so used to being unhappy, we get used to fighting for happiness, but when we find it, we forget we don't have to fix everything around us. We are our own responsibility, and we can forget that because we didn't know it before. The vacuum of not having to solve things can need to be filled. It's eerie when the storm is over because we aren't comfortable with being happy. I can't tell you how many people will come to me and just always be scared the issue is going to drop. And the happiness they're coming to me for, when I get them there, they fight me. They're like upset at me because now they don't know who they are. And every time we solve one thing, they find another thing and another thing and another thing. And I said, do you realize you're doing, there's a toy at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know if anyone, you know, who doesn't live in the U.S. knows what Chuck E. Cheese is, but it's a big, like a indoor playground. They sell pizza and food there and, you know, toys for the kids to play on and play with. Then they win prizes, they get tickets. It's a big kind of little indoor amusement park. And what happens is there's a toy there. And every time you hit one thing, another thing pops up and you hit another thing and it goes on forever until you actually run out of time. And that's how we live. We're always wanting to hit something, hit. And then we want to wait to be happy. Then when we are happy, we go find something to hit again. And I realized that fear of happiness, of it being taken away, of us not being comfortable being there because we're not there a lot. But once you get there, stop yourself from taking the moments away. By just talking about what upsets you, you have to ask yourself, how important, and is it more important than my happiness to keep rehashing the past, to keep using good moments to talk about things that upset us? Because I'll tell you now, there isn't going to be a day when everything in life doesn't upset you. Some days you're going to have it more than others, but when you reject the habit of dragging in the trash every day, you start looking forward to the moments that you have when you can feel that peace. That peace becomes more addictive than us dealing with things that upset us. I realized that sometimes, more than not, after what I've been doing, that people will hold on to their anger longer than they'll hold on to their happiness. And it's actually a choice. Because they've had anger hanging around with them for so long. They may talk about their ex all the time. And I'm like, well, they're your ex. Why do you want to keep talking about them? You left them to stop talking about them, to take them out of your life. We went through the problems. We solved the issue. And then we revert right back to the original conversation as though none of that happened. So the question isn't about your ex anymore, and it's not about you anymore personally. You feel like you've resolved things, but the habit of having a scapegoat in life is now what we need to break. These are fine lines, but boy, when you start to see that, you can't not see it. The habit of needing an issue, that problem slot I talk about, if that gets introduced into a relationship, the relationship itself now has to sink to fighting those things that you carry around in your head anyway. Just yesterday, one of my appointments, And these are just such beautiful examples of how compassion can win and love can win. Is how much I was speaking with a man who was fighting for his wife's mental health. She had a problem and she didn't know how to solve it, so she numbed it with alcohol. And now she has the drinking problem. And he's standing by her side and he's saying, when she isn't overtaken by this disease, she's a beautiful person. And I want to help her be that beautiful person again. I really did enjoy that beautiful person. And I thought, holy cow, thank you, God, that I even got to hear that. The fight for each other, the fight for happiness, we never stop. And then we have to transfer that fight for happiness to being in happiness, to enjoying that happiness. The other thing that Christ said, and this one happens a lot too, don't take away a good moment by saying you are still waiting for something better. Oh, well, that's not such a big deal. Or you get a new car. Well, it's really nice to have a new car, but that's not my dream car. Imagine, there's always something better. There always will be. But appreciate what you have when you have it. Enjoy what you have when you have it. Everything that comes to you that is yours now for its own reasons. But let it be yours. Let it be something you enjoy. Look at all the features it has. The people you know now, they're not stepping stones, they're people you know now. Enjoy them. Look at what makes them work, what makes them happy. Ask them what makes them happy. And then say, hey, let's do that this weekend. Or let's talk about it, or let's play a game, or let's go out, or let's listen to music together. Because now, with our little phones and everything, we all put on our headphones and we listen to our own music. The whole house doesn't hear the music anymore. When we were kids and they had record players and then they had 8-tracks and they had cassettes and we were getting better, then we had CDs. And we had car radios where everybody listened to the same thing, but now nobody's even in your car with you anymore. Unless your kids are little, you finally can share some of these things with them. Put music on in your home. So easy to wear a headset. And now with the wireless headsets, you don't even need your phone with you. You can listen, and somebody in your house wants to talk to you, and you have to flip your ears off just to hear them. Or the headphones in your ears, not your actual ears. That's funny. But just your earphones. Just take them off. And you say, what? Did you say something? And they're like, oh, yeah, what? And now you're screaming at each other. You're both in the same house. Be present when you guys are lucky enough to have time to be together. And look at it that way. That, hey, we actually have time to be together. Nobody has to run anywhere right now. I can't believe it. Thank your wife, your husband, your children, your partners for a wonderful, beautiful day before going to bed. Just thank them. Go through and say thanks for cooking dinner or helping with the dishes or putting everything away before we slept. Thanks for going for a walk with me. Thanks for massaging my shoulders. Thanks for doing the grocery shopping. That really helped. It gave me more time to do dinner. It gave me more time to get ready. Wow, it feels good when we work together. Thank you for that today. Just thank you for being in my life, for yet another great day with you. These little things. When something happens and sometimes you just don't have any words to say, just smile and laugh and leave it there. Don't try to go all over it. Just let it be. Let it be something simple so that These things can be part of your life every day. It's so easy to find a problem. It's so easy to take out whatever you have on another human being. It's much harder to rise above needing to take a person and make them what you need them for. Whether it's an outlet for your anger, an outlet for your confusion, an outlet for whatever it is you need, the true vessel that you have is you. You make the decisions on who you want to interact with, why you want to interact with them, what do you need back from it, does it frustrate you or make you happy? And if it frustrates you, ask yourself why you are drawn to things that make you frustrated and not happy. In the morning, I see Liam wrote in the chat, and you're welcome, and thank you for being there. This is thanks for being here, guys. Liam, you're a sweetheart. And they say, ask, you know, when you guys wake up in the morning, hey, how did you sleep? Let them know that you know they're there, that you care, that it matters. Because those things do matter. Those things are the support for everything else you do with the people you live with. And it starts in the day of just knowing that somebody is in your life who cares about you, who's paying attention to you. Know when an argument is done. Just, it's done. One of the easiest things for us to do, one of the easiest things is just to forget to say anything at all. When we're upset, we say a lot. But when we're not, we just forget to say anything. We think, oh, well, I'm happy now. I don't need anything. But if there's people around you and you have a partner in life that you live with, it means a lot when you communicate. That small talk, that might sound like, well, what difference does it make if I ask how they sleep? Or what difference does it make if I ask, you know, would they like me to make us breakfast this morning? And we don't usually do that. Or I'll be the one to go make the coffee or whatever it is that you do. I'll go wake up the kids. But letting the other person know that you acknowledge them, that you pay attention to them, that you care about what they want to do and what they don't. What do you have in your day? Is there anything we can help each other with? When do you get home? Text me on the way home. Maybe we might need to pick something up. Okay, great. So now everyone's on alert. They're starting their day. They know that they're connected. They feel that they're connected. Cool, like even now. Now Nancy and Francis both answered Liam, and everybody feels we're all thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here every morning. I love waking up and this being the first thing I talk about every day. Because knowing that the first thing I talk about is something that makes life better or feel better, and then I go out into the world, and then I wonder, wow, I've had another good day. What's going on? And I realized that doing the show or listening to the show, however, whichever end we're on, it just saying something that's true sets the pace for the rest of the day. And even cooler is stuff that isn't true or is off gets picked up right away, because the only way you can see what's off is by seeing what's not off in you and in the way you run your days. The way you choose to run your day is your hands. So when people are not happy, the first thing I ask them is, why did you make that choice and how long ago can you remember you feeling this way? Because really, it's a habit. And it's a habit that we're taught. If you can look at not being happy as a habit, you will not believe how much of it is a habit. You'll not believe it. You'll be like, wow, there were so many times where I was excited about something, and then I would remember something else that didn't work, and I'd actually give that more attention. You'd actually give that more attention. And then you have to say, but wait, why do I do that? Am I scared to be happy? What about happiness? Can I not accept? Paying attention to that is where I would put my attention at this point in life. I look around, and when you're out, let's say you go to a beach or you go somewhere and you see kids playing and they're jumping in the water. I just did this the other day. It was cold. The wind was cold. It got down by this. It was by Zuma Beach, and it was cold wind, and most people were wearing coats, and there were kids playing in the water. And I thought, my God, they must be freezing. But they couldn't feel the cold. And once you get in there, you're in there. Your body adapts, you adapt, and they're having a blast. And I thought, oh, they didn't get the cold memo. They got the I want to swim memo. And they swam, and they were playing, and they were laughing, and they were waiting for the waves to come in. And as it gets darker and later, the waves get much more aggressive, and they were waiting for it. It really is a matter of perception and a matter of what we've become accustomed to, and we can challenge it and we can grow it at any time. And I see Liam wrote, I remember you telling us about your daughter that she had an opportunity for a job, but she didn't feel right about it and didn't take it. She walked around the woods instead of into it and learning the lessons of the woods. She knew enough to not need the lessons of what her instincts told her wasn't for her. Having those instincts, because all along when they were younger, this is what I used to tell them. I used to tell them, there may be things you ask me for, and I may say no in the beginning because I don't understand why you want it. However, if you can come to me with your argument or your reasons of why you should do that, I will always be open to changing my mind. So early on, I taught them to think about what they want, because not everyone will understand them. But if they know what they want in their own heads and why they want it, then they know what they're looking for. And these are things that I just said. Or if there was a problem between her and her brother, because every brother and sister are going to have an argument or going to do something goofy, I'd always have what I called court. And I'd take out a wooden spoon and I'd hit the counter with it. And I'd ask the first person, the one I usually thought was guilty, speak. And when that one would speak, I never had to get to the person, to the second person, because the first one would realize that they caused the issue. And then once it was thoughtic, once he can talk, and it was him who caused the issue, and he had this thing about waiting for her a good moment in a show and then turning the TV off and running. And I knew he did it. All I see is his little afro run out of the room. I knew it was him. So then I would say, you know, what happened, thoughtic, and obviously he'd snitch on himself, and he would do that, and I'd say sorry to your sister. But with the autism, saying sorry to his sister didn't make sense because he didn't mean it. So he'd say, but I don't mean it. Do you want me to say it if I don't mean it? And then his sister would say, no, I don't want you to say it if you don't mean it. Only if you mean it. Then they'd get in an argument about that. And I'd say, the amazing thing is at least he's honest, and at least you know that he does it just to bug you and to have fun with you. This is over. Out of here. It's interesting how kids are, but when you teach them to speak their minds, not in a way where they're always dumping their trash on you, but to actually speak their mind, you will find out so many great things just about people in general. Guys, I love you so much. Tomorrow is Dream Theme Thursday, so I'll see you then. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.